This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's not Jeffrey time, but it's close. It's Jeffrey's film time. We do it every Tuesday following a Cowboys game or Wednesday if they play on Monday nights. So let's jump into the film room with Jeff Cavanaugh and take a look at some of his top takeaways as he evaluates the popular narratives that have emerged and tells you which ones were right and which ones were wrong. Here he is. The best there is, the best there ever was, and the best there ever will be. Cavanaugh.
Hey, everybody. It's a film, and you got to be quiet during a film.
Okay, that's
right. So I'm going to do the whole segment like this.
I got my popcorn pop.
I'm not going to do that. By the way, I want to update a number for you guys because I remember the we gave out the numbers when the Cowboys were running on first down and how unfortunate it was. They got like 2.4 something per carry.
Yeah.
I want to correct that to how about when they ran on first and 10 because they had a first and goal from the 6 and they had the Tavon Austin run was a first down run.
Yeah, that was
so
a nice run.
On first and 10.
Creative.
They averaged 2.2 yards per carry, but they sure did try it. They sure did try.
He came out of a bunch to take a reverse toss of some sort. That was pretty slick.
That was an end around, Gavin.
Okay.
Yeah, I will not have people out here using the word reverse. It's my pet peeve.
Okay.
When the announcers, I like to be super smart football guy, and when the announcer's like, oh, it's Tavon on the reverse. A reverse would involve giving it to a player headed that direction who then
and
tosses
then
it back to him.
We're going the other way.
That would reverse the field. If it's the quarterback who gives it to him, it's an end around.
I'd be lost without you, bro.
I wouldn't know about bucket steps.
Thanks
if I didn't
for putting
have you.
Me. Thanks for putting me down softly.
Yeah,
you got it.
Sit down there. Okay. First thing I wanted to look at is why couldn't the Cowboys run against the Vikings? And instead of just watching it and doing giant generalizations, which I will kind of do in the wrap up at the end, I decided that on the home of the Cowboys, we'll go play by play and just every single play. What happened? First and 10. First time they decided to run the ball. 8-man box against 7 blockers. Blockers kind of did their job, except there's an extra guy there. Math beat them, and they gained 3 yards anyway because Zeke was good. And that's the other thing. We've all been tough on Zeke, and I don't think he's one of the 5 best runners in the league, but he's still a really good runner. I don't think that he'll ever be a great receiver for a running back. I don't think he's going to get hit a bunch of home run runs. I don't think that he's going to be able to make safeties miss and then outrun people. But consistently down in and down out, maximizing what you can get on a generic run play, Zeke is still really good. You'll notice a theme here where they're going to gain yardage on plays where maybe they shouldn't have because Zeke just kind of runs through a guy as he falls down.
It's perfect for Garrett. You know, we don't want to get any more than one first down's worth of yardage at a time.
I didn't think about that. It really is. Zeke is the perfect Garrett back.
14 play drives here, boys.
Him and Leonard Fournette. If you could get 25 carries for 100 yards, they're like, yes! Four pop! Put 100 on them! Your quarterback's like, I got 11 yards per attempt, and we threw it 19 times. He's like, that's efficient. And it's because we ran it 25 times for 100. Woo! Second run of the game on first and 10. Here is a trend that the Vikings did. Analytics are not going to be perfect when people talk about how many people are in the, quote, box on defense because it depends who you're asking and how many yards off the ball counts as the box. But their second first and 10 play, the Vikings probably had a pretty good idea that you were running because they gave you the standard look of, here we are, we're playing defense. And as Dak's starting to go set, here comes all-pro strong safety Harrison Smith into the box. And at the snap of the ball, he has arrived. And here you have an extra defender.
Oops.
Tyron Smith gets beat by Everson Griffin, which makes Zeke bounce to his left, where he is promptly greeted by the unblocked Anthony Barr because someone had to block the run blitzing Harrison Smith. And so Tyron getting beat by a really good player to the inside dictated where Zeke had to go, which then left an unblocked linebacker to tackle Ezekiel Elliott for a 2-yard gain.
Is the cat and mouse game happening? In other words, the defense is showing, oh yeah, you can totally run on us. And then when they realize that Dak's gone past the point of no return in his cadence, then extra guys are entering the box.
The Vikings did some of that. I think you saw on a handful of the 14 plays that we'll go through, yes. I think they had a tendency to show you even numbers, and then they would either have a corner or a safety who would creep in and be the extra guy. And
that's so what happened against the Saints, right?
Yes, yes.
So is that why Jason or Scott says, just run the play? You know, we can get into trying to second-guess them, and are they showing pass coverage, but they're really coming for the run? Let's just run the play and execute.
It's interesting, and it's very complicated, I think, because, like, somebody this morning when I was like, oh, they got beat by math here, 7-on-6, and he was like, that's not how this works, bruh. He was like, you don't block the guy on the backside, and you're running away from him, and it's fine. And do the Cowboys believe that and do that sometimes? Absolutely. Did that hurt them multiple times in this game? Yes. They had 6-on-6 blocking, and they would leave a defensive end, Everson Griffen, unblocked because we're running right. But then when somebody on the right can't keep their block, and you start to cut it back, guess who's tackling your running back? An unblocked guy. And sometimes they do block that backside guy. And now we've got an unblocked linebacker. So, no, they don't always block the backside guy, and sometimes that's fine, and sometimes it's not. So the answer is sometimes and stuff.
How good do you set the edge with your...
Run number 3 was 8-man box against 7 blockers, 4-yard gain, just a standard run play. Just everybody kind of did their job, and they got 4 yards. And that's one of the disappointing things to me with the Cowboys is that they're willing to run at a +1. However many blockers they have, if they have +1, the Cowboys are willing to run at that, and they don't mind it, and that's the way they're coaching their quarterback, I'm pretty sure. No one's told me that. But just based on watching, I believe that they're comfortable with +1, which means to me, that 4-yard gain, that's kind of the ceiling on that play. You're anticipating having someone unblocked, which means even a productive play, you get 4.
Yeah.
You could have excellent execution and it's spring, but the odds are you're going for 4 yards at best. And to view that, and that's not a win in the NFL. I want to make that very clear. If a team runs for 4 yards and it's 2nd and 6, that's a loss for the offense because the goal is to get a first down and then go score, right? That's the goal. At 2nd and 6, you have worse odds of getting a first down than you did at 1st and 10. So gaining 4 yards is not a win. It's a loss.
Ouch.
You have to gain 5 yards to get better odds than you had at 1st and 10. So that's why I hate paying running backs and running into bad looks, because even when you gain 4 yards, I think in our football mind, 4 yards per carry for a running back is like used to be the barrier for, oh, that's okay. That's not okay.
You just haven't totally screwed yourself.
Right. You haven't totally screwed yourself, but you have not given yourself a better chance of converting after gaining 4 yards.
That hurts.
4th run of the game.
Somebody's really got to stand up there and say, guys, we don't have Ron Leary. We don't have prime Tyron and Travis. Zach's been hurt. You know, and maybe these guys will start playing as they were in their primes, but our left guard isn't going to turn into Ron Leary.
Yeah, you it's know? True.
And in 2016 and in 2014, it was awesome because they would run against heavy boxes and still break them for 12 yards.
We got 5 Pro Bowlers. Let's block them up.
And guys, we don't have a running back that can make guys miss.
Yeah.
So that plus one situation.
It's true. 4th, 1st and 10 running play. Once again, it looks like it's 7-on-7, but their strong safety, Harrison Smith, cheats down. So now it's 8-on-7. And Zeke again gains 4 yards on a play where he probably shouldn't. He runs into an unblocked Eric Kendricks, but Zeke is a strong guy. So instead of it being a 1 yard gain, it turns into a 4 yard gain. And this is the first time where the answer of what went wrong, quote, wrong on a 4 yard gain is the Vikings did seem to have a good feel for when you're going to run. And they ran a stunt that looked like it was a run stunt, which people think of defensive linemen when they start crossing as that's to get to the quarterback. But this was, they had a defensive end crash down inside, which occupies a blocker because the Cowboys do zone blocking. They want to have a clean opportunity to double team a defensive tackle. Then we're on to the linebacker. So when a defensive end shoots inside and jacks up that double team, the defensive tackle slides around him. And now the whole thing's out of kilter because you got to figure out, okay, now we're scrambling. Somebody's got to pick up this defensive tackle who slid around. And now you've disrupted my ability by crashing inside to get up to a linebacker. And so they invited 8 people to the box and it created a train wreck. but Zeke ran through a linebacker for long enough to get you 4 yards.
That's still something, Mike, that Zeke does at an elite level. When he gets into contact and he gets low and explodes through, it's like he squat thrusts linebackers and defensive tackles to get the 3 yards there at an elite level, doesn't he?
Yep, Jerome Bettis.
It's the best thing that Zeke does, is the vision, the feel, and the fact that when you hit him, you will go a couple more yards the direction the defender does not want to go. Next one. Lyle Collins, and I want to go through all of them just to make the point that it's not one thing. It'll never be one thing. Part of it is Vikings did a great job with their stunts, with their pre-snap looks, all these different things. Tyron misses a block here.
Sounds like they had stunts drawn up for the perfect situations, yes, that they needed to get a stop.
The fifth time that they tried to run it, Lyle Collins can't reach the three technique. So if I'm using any words that you don't know as a sports radio listener, Lyle Collins plays right tackle. There is a guy that's lined up over Zach Martin, the right guard. The Cowboys are running left. So Lyle Collins, this guy is to his left, a yard, maybe more than a yard to his left, and his job is to get on the other side of him and not let him affect the play. He just can't make it.
Hey, good luck with that.
A guy who gets a good jump off the ball, and Lyle Collins is a really big guy, strong guy, not the best athlete in the world. He couldn't get there, and you actually, guess what? You still gain 4 yards because Zeke is running through the guy who tackles him. Then, here's the next play. This one comes down to, I don't like the plan. The next first and 10 run, you've got Jason Witten lined up as kind of a wing. He's not up on the line. He's a step back, but he's over there. Next to him is Randall Cobb and Amari Cooper in a little tight formation. It's all right there next to the line of scrimmage. So when they get everything blocked up, the hole where they're trying to get Zeke to is Randall Cobb blocking a DB. That's what you're going into. And you've got so many people here that you can't really bounce it outside. There's not a cutback lane. So the answer is, I've got to run through where Randall Cobb is my point of attack blocker. Is that a good idea?
I don't know how good of a blocker Randall Cobb is. Against some corners, I wouldn't mind it. He seems strong.
Yeah,
seems stronger than hell.
I don't want a wide receiver on the interior as my point of attack leader. And so they gain 2 yards.
That's their surprise plays right there.
They'll never see this coming, guys.
That's why we brought in Kellen Moore.
Okay, to this point in the game, they have not scored. The Cowboys have not scored. Their next first and 10 run is Tavon Austin on the end around, which gets them to 2nd and 3. This is the first run that's been successful in the entire game.
It was the only one.
And the very next play, they throw a touchdown to Michael Gallup because, oh my goodness, we're ahead of the chains. We can do whatever we want. Vikings can't really guess what's coming. Hello!
Yeah.
Being successful on first down is a lot of fun.
And this team could be so good.
This team is one of the best offenses in football, and they could be a lot better. That's the scary part.
Yeah.
So they score that touchdown.
That's not fun.
I think that's the frustrating part, that fans are like, man, you're talking about the coach too much. It's like, man, when you look at it this way, it's so maddening how good this team could be. And maybe they should have already won a couple of Super Bowls over the last 5 years. Back to you, Jeff.
Okay, so to wrap this up, because there's still 5 or 6 more of these, and most of them are either 1 yard, 0 yards, -2 yards, whatever. And this one, a week ago, I thought Connor Williams had a pretty good game against a bad Giants team, but he had a pretty good game. And I thought Travis Frederick played a good game against a bad Giants front. Against the Vikings, they have multiple plays where it looks like it's a Travis Frederick mistake, which is surprising because I think he's one of the smartest football IQ guys on the team. But they do a ton of where they're asking guys, you double-team the defensive lineman, then one of you is blocking the linebacker, and here we go. But multiple plays, it looks like it would be Travis Frederick's job to go to the linebacker, and he either never does or he's late to it, and the same thing happened to Connor Williams. So ultimately, the Vikings could stop the Cowboys from running because, A, Everson Griffin was tough. Tyron got beat on 2 or 3 of these plays. Frederick and Williams looked like they had miscommunications on multiple of these plays. Connor Williams got beat. Lyle Collins couldn't reach this guy. The Vikings had a good plan. The Vikings are sneaking guys into the box. Eric Kendricks is an all-pro linebacker, maybe the best linebacker in football after watching that game. It's just, it's so hard to be a zone-blocking team and cleanly pull off a play that ends with somebody getting to Eric Kendricks because he's so athletic, he's so quick, he diagnoses things so fast that by the time your guys have figured out, okay, I've got him, you're on to Kendricks, he's either on the other side of you, he's past you, you can't reach him. Mm. So ultimately, the offensive line didn't play well. And the Vikings did play well. And I would not want to play that team again, and I think they will in the postseason. I think they'll host the Vikings. And if they do, if they're playing like that, throw the ball 60 times.
There you go.
Until they dare you to run it, throw the ball on them.
Yeah, come out throwing. You know, this team could be really good if they do that. And then, yeah, once they figure, oh, wow, man, they are going to pass on us, that's when you run. And it doesn't take long. Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, I got a question for you. What would be your message at the Star if you were in the front office this week? It's next in the G-Bag Nation. All right, what would your message be at the Star if you could hold court in front of the front office, okay? Jerry's there. Steven is there. Will McClay. Jerry Jr. is in the house. Charlotte. Jones Anderson, she's hanging out listening to you. The cap guys are there. All the important people. The cap guys. I don't know if the analytics people are there. You know, they have a
okay,
table.
Okay, you don't have to talk to them.
They have a table. I don't know. I don't know if they're included yet.
A bunch
I don't
of pathetic
know.
Losers probably back playing some tabletop board game.
Well, you know, they look like pathetic losers, but they're probably the smartest football people in that building. Segment's brought to you by Denny's. It's brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. And it's brought to you by 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, Do It More fan listeners do, make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark will stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. You guys want to weigh in here at 877-881-1053. Text in. If you're fascinating, you could call, I suppose, but you'll probably just end up sitting on hold. And you could also tweet into the show. Mike, you have the floor. The Cowboys front office is listening to you. What do you need to say to them?
Well, I would say this, Gavin. I'd be wasting my breath because after everything I said, they would say back to me, that doesn't make us any more money. That makes us uncomfortable. What does it matter if we do all these things and we win? It just makes us uncomfortable. Would you like some Johnny Walker Blue and party with us all night long? And I'd be like, whatever.
Your message was not going to help the team. That was a bad message.
That was me being the Jones family, as they're like, look, I don't care.
That's a bad message.
Well, you know, I
not going to get me any more helicopters.
I suppose you could try to reach down into their soul and spell it out for them how Cowboys Nation is depending on them. And I would have that message. If I was behind you, Mike, and after they turned me away, I'd come back and say, you know what? You know, Mike Bassick had something here for you. And you need to decide personally, Jerry Jones, if you want to have a personal head coach or if you want to put the Cowboys in the best position to succeed. Because no other NFL team outside of maybe the Bengals, and that should give you a real good idea of the company you're keeping here, would have held on to Jason Garrett for this long.
Excuse me. And that's where I am at with it is I would just say, guys, Jason Garrett's not the guy. Yeah. I know you desperately want him to be, and I understand that he's family. His father was family. His family's your family. And you feel like, look, family is everything in this organization. And I respect a lot of that.
Yeah.
But you've hired an incompetent person, and you actually have admitted that you hired an incompetent person saying that he was going to grow into the job, and you were hoping he would grow into the job. And you say your biggest regret is not getting a championship for Romo, yet you hired an incompetent person that you hope would grow into it. He never grew into it. He hasn't gotten better at this. There might be ways that he's regressed at actually being a head coach because this game is changing a lot with all the rules that they're doing and changing to make this more passing and more offensive. And
we're not taking advantage of it.
We're not taking advantage of it. And it's led by a guy that you desperately want to be Tom Landry. Maybe you can find Tom Landry. And I know you don't have many years left to do it. He ain't Tom Landry.
Yeah. Hey, I think that's a good message. What do you think about that for effort number two for Mikey B?
Better than effort number one for sure. Yes, it was definitely a step in the right direction.
And after I said all that stuff, then they're just going to be like, who cares?
That's why you do radio.
Yeah.
What would you do, Jeff, before we get – look at these phone calls coming in. People want to get an audience with the front office there. You can also text or tweet into the show, Jeff.
My message would be, guys, I'm going to start with the bad news, but then I'm going to end with the good news, so we'll feel warm and fuzzy at the end. Here is the bad news. As an organization, we – because right now I'm part of the team, right?
Yeah.
We –
I do we way too much.
Have prioritized some of the wrong things. We, with our best, highest draft pick in what, 20 years? When's the last time they picked higher than 4?
Troy? I don't know.
Russell, Maryland, or it's, Troy, or
yeah,
whatever?
It's Troy and Russell, Maryland.
Okay, so the best pick we've had in 25 or 30 years, we spent on a running back. That was tough. That was tough for us. Mm. It was a bad move by us. Man, we really S'd the bet on that one.
Here's our L.
We compounded that by giving a second contract early to that top five pick. Here's the good news.
It's just two strikes.
He's a good player.
Okay, okay, I like it.
It's nice to have a good player.
All right.
Bad news, we could have got somebody to do kind of the same thing, probably 60 picks later. But anyway, and that was a sign of something we're systematically doing incorrectly. And that's unfortunate because we got the nerds over here. I know you picture them all as having glasses and being 130 pounds. But check out this one. This nerd is like 6'3", 215, and he's chiseled. If he looked like that, you might listen to him.
Good-looking nerd.
We got to maximize what's happening in the NFL right now. We got to maximize on the fact that if we hadn't pooped the bed once or twice this year, if the record were 7-2, the MVP conversation is Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, and Dak Prescott. You know how much money we could make if Dak was a front runner for the MVP?
Hello.
I threw that one in for Jerry. There you know how much money we could make if he was in every MVP segment? He's not, because we're 5-4. And we're 5-4 because of these organizational decisions we've made that feed me is a cool thing and that handing the ball off is the best option and we have to be afraid of risk because our quarterback can't handle throwing it enough. We have to realize the best player on our offense is our quarterback.
Ooh.
And it's the most efficient way to win.
Yes.
So, by God, let's go out there and let's line up. By the way, you guys have done a great job of team building. Good scouting, mm-hmm. good drafting for the most part. You've done a great job of team building. Don't worry about the fact that TJ Watt is currently the highest graded edge player in the league. But
yeah, nobody's perfect.
Yeah, you're not perfect. Sorry about that. Sorry you guys didn't listen to me on that one. but if we take advantage of the best thing that we have and default to what's the best thing we have. Because the problem with you guys, right now, is you think the best thing you have is the running back. It's not. The best thing you have is the quarterback. Mm. Our default should be throw the ball. We run the ball when they dare us to. We throw the ball when all things are even, and then we'll win the Super Bowl.
Great stuff there. A spirited speech from Jeff Kavanaugh. We go to the Twitter account of @GBagNation, where @RickerNFL has tweeted in, "Hey Jones, y'all managed a way to waste a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback in Romo, a top five offensive line, a Hall of Fame tight end, a great number one wide receiver in Dez and Cooper, and a top 10 quarterback in a rookie contract. What has been the same? Wake the hell up." That's a Jason Garrett complaint right there.
Okay.
Yes. And we're ready for your phone call, Z877-881-1053. Yeah, I said what mine would be earlier, and that's just, you know, that, hey, the running game's not working. If you want to, you know, try it in games in the first quarter, okay, I'd rather not dig a hole. But if you want to keep trying it, that's fine. At some point in the middle of the second quarter, we have to, or maybe in the middle of the first quarter, if we get two drives and go three and out, we have to be honest with ourselves. So whatever our game plan is going in, we're constantly checking in on that. As Jason Garrett says, we do. You know, we just need to make sure we bail from that a lot sooner. Here is Dylan in Arlington. You're up at the Star in front of the Cowboys front office there at the table. What do you have to say to him?
Man, I have to say, what are we doing? That's first step. Hey, what are we doing?
I think that's a good Mike Gundy line.
That game against the Vikings, when Dak was throwing the ball, I mean, he looked great.
Yeah.
Receivers were open. I think that was one of the first games that what did they say that almost every one of our receivers had a catch for over 20 yards?
It was a thing of beauty.
I mean, it was beautiful, and you know, I'm behind Zeke. The man can run the ball, and a lot of times he can do great things. But like y'all said, when you're halfway through the first quarter and you've tried getting the run game going and you're not doing anything but max 4 yards, why are we not throwing the ball?
Yeah.
Why do we put the game at the end of it in Zeke's hands when they stop him three times? We just want to keep running it.
Good stuff, Dylan. Appreciate the call. Opens the line at 877-881-1053. Is the 24-hour rule. We vented about what happened against Minnesota Sunday night, and now we're back to rebuilding. How can we do some constructive criticism What would you have in mind if you had an audience with the Jones family up there? Here's Jeremy in Dallas. Good afternoon, Jeremy. How you doing?
Hey, fellas. Love y'all's show, man. Y'all are the best. My first message is mediocrity has got to stop. This is a way that has killed your fans. I mean, it's great that you can go and build the star, build, you know, the stadiums and lead that kind of direction. But since you purchased the Cowboys, yeah, you got 3 Super Bowls, but what have you done since? I mean, you've got generations that are growing up thinking that America's team, what have you done? You know, and if that's what we're okay with, we're okay with, hey, you know what, 8-8 here, 10-6 here, a couple of divisional playoffs. That's not good enough. I think any business owner looks at it and say, hey, we're kind of just getting by. That's not okay. It's not okay to just bring in the money and not have wins, because that's not what America's team or the Cowboys are about. Just like when Jerry first came to Dallas, it was, hey, I am here and in the business to win.
Yeah, and you know what? He did it. Whatever Jerry Jones sets his mind to really do, he's going to do it. He's going to pull it off. He's more motivated. He's more intelligent. He's more cunning at whatever he really wants to accomplish.
Do you think that we've reached a point where pretty much every media outlet is saying you would like to upgrade a head coach?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's more likely to have the Jones family be like, whoo, seems like public sentiment and would really like to see this changed and make them lean to do it? Or do you think that makes them dig in and go, no, we'll show them?
I think if the public sentiment goes bad and stays bad for, it takes a while.
If you lose to the Lions.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
He's out of here if you lose to the Lions, bro.
The Jeff Driscoll Lions, if that's what it is, because that's what it was this week.
I think Lucius has a really good eye. It requires a certain set of circumstances, like last year going into the Eagles game at 3-5. That game could have cost Jason Garrett his job. You know, at 5-4, a loss to the Lions with Jeff Driscoll. I think it could. I think the public sentiment matters.
I think multiple things go into it. Jerry pays attention to the media. It doesn't mean he makes his decisions on it. But one of the things where he had to make a major decision was not only one stadium, but the other thing too was we didn't care more about the Mavericks. At no point did we ever care more about another team than the Dallas Cowboys. But I was around here. We started talking a lot of Mavericks basketball. There was Steve Nash and there was Dirk Nowitzki and there was 50 plus wins. And so, you know, we're spending time in the public like,
yeah.
Hey, let's talk about the Dallas Mavericks, man. They might have a championship here. They might take it all the way, and they made it to the conference finals in 2003. And I think that affects Jerry when he starts hearing our radio station and other radio stations start spending time on the Rangers and the Stars and the Mavericks. And he's like,
yeah,
you guys are still talking Cowboys, but it seems like less. You guys aren't as interested. I'll do some. I gotta work now.
When the tune out factor comes, and that's real. That's beyond frustration. That's when apathy happens.
Yeah.
And I don't think apathy has yet set in the Garrett era.
And not with the fans either. We're 5-4. There's a chance to win the division. The Mavericks, hell, I have to talk to some of my friends. I'm like, no, like Luka's averaging a triple double. They're not paying attention. Right now, and I totally get it. The Mavericks have been bad now for a while, but if they ever get championship-like and we're still sticking around with Jason Garrett, I think then Jerry might be like, oh, crap, man. I actually do have to fire my buddy.
Okay, how about MGHawk1 on Twitter? All due respect, I don't like the third down run play, but Williams and Frederick blew that. People are talking about the wrong things. And that's something Jerry mentioned this morning. That he said the real story is how they dominated both lines of scrimmage, the Minnesota Vikings. And
how many times did Dak get sacked? 12? 7?
0, I think.
Oh, I don't remember him getting sacked.
It's interesting how they dominated the line of bull ass.
They did dominate the run blocking.
Yeah, they did. Yes.
Yeah.
They did not dominate when Dak went back to pass. There were times they got pressure, and they have good defensive ends like we have good defensive ends. But you know, don't feed me this turd and tell me it's fertilizer.
They did fertilizer, though. That is one of the big silver and blue linings of the game. Is that against that defense with dogs coming after you, you held them off enough for Dak Prescott to be really dang good. Okay, Around the NFL is coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
Dallas Truck World has over 800 pre-owned trucks, SUVs, and cars to choose from. They all come with a 7-day return policy for your peace of mind, y'all. Check out DallasTruckWorld.com.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time to go around the NFL, brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. There he is, Mike Bassick on first down.
All right, maybe I'm being too hard on these Cowboys because power rankings are out, and the power rankings love the Dallas Cowboys. In fact, after losing Sunday night at home, NFL Network or NFL.com had them ranked 7th. They moved them all the way down to 8th. You know who moved into 7th? Just the Vikings. So they consider the Cowboys a top 8 team in the NFL.
Wow,
so
I thought, well, stubborn.
Let me go to ESPN. They'll be, really hard on the Dallas Cowboys. That Cowboys loss was so good, they moved them up to number 10. They were number 11, and they actually moved up one spot after the loss.
Huh.
They are now considered a better team on ESPN's power rankings after losing that game.
You know, just to pile onto the Cowboy part of that, Choppy's favorite website, Football Outsiders, with their DVOA, where they try to quantify everything and figure out who's the best in the world. The Cowboys are 4th in DVOA in the NFL. So they're saying they're the 4th best team in football, and their offense is number 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so close.
On a per-play basis, they're dominant.
It's close, guys.
Yeah. It ain't that close.
It is close.
Losing is losing, dude. I'm sick of that. Like, oh, it does. You know what matters in analytics? The score at the end of the game. Everything else is a bunch of horse hockey. It helps. What did you do at the end? Here's the analytic that matters. How many points did you score and how many points did you give up? We're average at that. The most important analytic in the world of sports is, did we get more than they got? Mm-hmm. We've done that 5 times and failed 4 times. Everything else is a bunch of bull S.
Right. So you have a winning record and you're leading the NFC East.
You're
Oh, no.
Dumb.
Like, I mean, I get it. Yes, they're not as good as they should be. Like, on a per-play basis, they're very, very, very good. Their record is just above average.
We're so close to being undefeated.
You're really close to being a really good team.
We are the best team. If they can just take those freaking Ravens off that one spot and wake up and put the Cowboys there. We're just unlucky.
I'm sorry about your emotions.
I'm going to kick your ass. That's what I'm going to do.
I bet.
You want to come over there and kick your ass.
I know. Right, and think about it. It's because I said that they have a good football team. That's got you angry enough to fight someone.
The Rangers have a good baseball team.
They had a losing record.
No, it's just unlucky.
Are you done with your down, Mike?
Yeah, go take it. I'm
okay.
Done.
Okay. All right. Here's Jeff with second down.
I think that one might have been real. Colin Kaepernick is going to have an open workout to get the NFL's attention. He's going to have a private workout in Atlanta this Saturday, it looks like. It says the Saturday session will include on-field work and an interview. All clubs have been invited to attend the workout, and video of the workout and the interview will be made available to all teams. At least one team, the story just broke, so I'd imagine they hadn't had time to talk to too many, but at least one team has advised Pro Football Talk it'll send a representative to the session. They add their commentary that it's an unusual move since he has not been employed in football since March of 2017, and then Pro Football Talk's like, maybe he should have done this sooner, but whatever. I posted on the social media that I actually think Colin Kaepernick would be kind of your ideal backup for the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, he'd be an ideal backup for a lot of teams.
If he wants to play on the cheap, like the Ravens, it would be perfect for the Ravens, but they already, like, they have RG3. They have a similar style quarterback behind their quarterback.
Seahawks.
But if you're going to run some zone read stuff and move your quarterback around and all that, if Cap is just like, I just want to be in the NFL, like, sure, here's your little tiny money. You're better than Cooper Rush, I promise. And move on with your day.
The story I read said that several teams have shown interest in him and have been inquiring with the agent, like, is he football ready?
Right.
Are we ready to rock? Because at this point, he hasn't played since 2016. So I don't know. It's really difficult to tell. You know, I mean, there was a settlement based on collusion to keep him out of the sport.
Right.
So at some point there was, I mean, at least I believe some sort of an agreement that we're going to make an example out of Kaepernick so other players don't stand this strongly. And make a demonstration out of our pregame, right? So
yeah, it's weird though, because like Eric Reed also sued the NFL over the same thing and then got a contract, right? But yeah. I mean, Kaepernick was like the first guy and the face of it, so I guess it was like, no, you're
all
done.
The other guys are followers. Is it a
I guess
cut the head off and just type of situation?
If
I don't know, I would be legit surprised though if an NFL team pleasantly surprised.
I think it
would be, you know, a good ending to the story. He's 31 years old. He could still play quarterback for another 5 or 6 years, I think, at a pretty high level. It was 23 touchdowns.
I don't think I would ever want him to be the guy you're planning to start. Because to your point, like the last time that he played, some of the basic numbers look good and the advanced ones look really bad. Like he didn't play well. But if you told me, hey, you got a 4 or 5 game stretch, you lost your quarterback, Cooper Rush or Colin Kaepernick, come on.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Come on.
I mean, it won't happen here because, of course, hashtag real backup.
Are you sure he would be good right now?
I don't think he would be good. I think he would be better than most teams' backups. I don't think that you would go and he would play 3 or 4 games and you'd be like, man, he played really well. I think your goal would be, well, because he can run and he can throw it well enough, you can go into that sort of conservative, can you bus drive this thing for a few weeks?
Yeah.
That's my guess.
And heck, you know, if you're throwing for 170 yards but managing to run for 75 or something like Lamar Jackson is, I don't know if Colin Kaepernick can run like that anymore. You know, he is 31 years old, and typically jets like that kind of start fading in your late 20s and everything. But even if he doesn't have the pure speed that he once had, I do think he could be a more effective quarterback than about half dozen or so of the starters if you gave him a full offseason to prepare. And definitely better than quite a few backups. And if you're running anything similar of a style that allow him to play like the kind of quarterback that he had success with the 49ers with, and you know, I think when it comes to wins and losses, but this goes back to the thing, we always talk about it with Jerry Jones, but across the league, the most dangerous thing as an NFL owner is not losing games. It's getting involved in politics in a way that's going to create a controversy and alienate a fan base, right? And if you're one of those teams, whether the percentage of your fan base is 2% or 25% or 52% or whatever it is, you're looking at that as a potential threat to your empire and something that will shut down season ticket sales. So much bigger than the possibility he could come in and play football so well that you become a Super Bowl champion, right? I think for the majority of NFL owners, the potential controversy weighs bigger than the potential win on the football field.
For sure, yeah. And yes. The only thing is, I think they're wrong about that.
Yeah? Yeah, but
I think whoever signs Colin Kaepernick, if they do, is going to be the first team to ever sell a butt ton of backup quarterback jerseys.
Yeah.
I think that it's a net win for your organization, but teams are still scared of it because are the people who text in right now, like obviously you know what happens when you say his name on the radio, are the people who are texting in right now telling the truth that I'll never watch another Cowboy game? And if they are, then it is a net loss.
I don't know how the owner sees it, and ultimately it's their opinion on the situation, but I would say if you lose that 5%, I would say the remaining 95% will more than make up for it. But, you know, I can't prove that. You know,
right.
I have a feeling
right.
that the people that supported Colin Kaepernick would make up for your business losses, whatever they might
be. Hell yeah, I'll come back.
There you go.
Right. I'll be right back. I don't care what team you're going to. I'm coming back, bro.
And you'll have a jersey, right?
I will have a jersey, and I will watch the game religiously like I used to. I'll be back in love with football like I want to be.
Well, maybe you'll get your opportunity as Saturday in Atlanta, Colin Kaepernick. They've scheduled a workout. We still don't have confirmation if any teams want to come watch.
And somebody did text in. They were like, if back up for the Cowboys, he'd have to stand. I bet you, I don't know this, but I bet you that at his workout and during his interview that that's part of it, and he does.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's my guess.
Maybe. Or maybe. I don't know. Anything's possible.
There's already been a compromise made.
Sure.
I was in the press box when the anthem played. Like, Michael Bennett is standing, but he's not with the team on the line. He's wandering around behind people walking around.
Yeah.
They've made a compromise already.
So compromises have been made, and maybe that's what Colin Kaepernick is interested in, or maybe him and his agent are setting up a scenario where they can approve that the collusion is still existing.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, man, we set this up and we talked to people, and all they wanted to know is, will you stand? And when you said no, they were like, oh, we're all out. So I don't know, but definitely one of the bigger sports stories of the decade and one worth keeping an eye on. Third down around the NFL brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Saquon Barkley, not 100%. Still not going to accept being shut down. The Giants are 2-8. He's had back-to-back horrible games. I mean, this is like Melvin Gordon quality pre-breakout game.
That's because the running back mostly does what's blocked.
So he had an X-ray on his shoulder after their loss to the Jets. Source told ESPN the shoulder's expected to be fine. He says the mindset of sitting me out and resting me for the rest of the season is beyond me. I do not agree with it. It won't happen. I'm going to keep going until I can't go anymore. That's the player I am, and I'm going to do it for my teammate. The Pro Bowl running back is not about to blame his performances on health. What's not being myself? I do feel like myself. I would love to go for 100 yards every game. I'd love to be doing the things I was doing last year. Trust me, I don't like the fact I was able to have 1 yard against a great team. Respect to them. But I feel like if you see me get into open space, I was still making people miss. And Pat Shurmur was asked about it. That's the big controversy today in New York. Should they shut down Saquon to get him healthy? And Pat Shurmur said, absolutely not. Okay, coming up next, the top stories of the day. And we'll take a look at, you know, the Cowboys having an off day here. They're getting set to try out and, you know, try to go get a win in Detroit. And Jerry made a lot of news today. He was asked if the report by Ian Rappaport is true that the Cowboys and Dak are headed for a franchise tag. We'll give you the details on that story and more next in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.